This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
It says yes.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Computer says no.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Welcome to episode 3 of The Scoop. I'm Billy Strotter, and today we're talking social media and politics at Podcast Detroit. I'm joined by Letty Graybrook, campaign manager for Dana Campos Peterson, and founder of Whiteboard Creative Solutions, and my buddy Bob.
What up, Billy? Spiel. In the house.
In the house, who happens to be running a social media campaign for Terrence.
Terrence Guerin.
I was going to say Jaren.
No,
which I was
Guerin.
Totally going to get it right. A.K.A. WWE superstar.
Rhino.
There you go. And that would be Dave.
What's up?
So you know it's going to be a good show because I have my usual suspects that I tend to get in trouble with here.
Partners in crime. Should I message Jen?
No.
We're together?
You just let her know it's going to be a late night. So this week we're going to be talking about social media and politics, and it seemed like a good topic to jump into, especially considering that, you know, back in 2008, that was really the first time that we saw a politician take advantage of social media the way that Barack Obama did. And it's interesting to see this next election cycle. It seems like people have just taken the gloves off. Bob, you showed me a tweet between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump that read,
This actually was from the official campaigns from the camp of Hillary Clinton, right? So basically the tweet goes like this. It's from at Hillary Clinton, right? At real Donald Trump thinks Democrats care about his opinion. How does it feel putting your stuff where it doesn't belong?
That's so much shade, man.
Well, then the response from Donald Trump is at Hillary Clinton, ask Bill. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Why do we not have bells in this room? I know there's bells.
Right?
There's,
yeah. Okay. Ask Bill. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, this is like supposed to be like one of these two are going to be the president of the United States of America. And they're making jokes.
They're not. They're going to be one of the presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah. Neither of them are managing their own social media.
Yeah, but still, you need to put.
Just a little common sense with staffers.
Isn't there some rules of engagement though? Like, you know,
that seems
they're not managing the Taco Bell account. This is like one of the future presidents of the United,
and that's the thing,
America.
That's why I thought this would be an interesting discussion today, because it seems like that's all been thrown out the window, right? Like any sort of, we're going to just stay above board, we're going to be polite. No.
Yeah,
it's going
common
to be
sense
and polite and responsible debates. We're going to express, exhibit decorum.
Billy.
No.
If you go back though, pre the internet, right? Every candidate would
go into pre-AOL?
Yes.
Pre-CDs?
Pre-everything.
Pre-everything, okay.
Candidates would go into every city and they go, you know, this is the greatest city I've ever been to. And, you know.
The best pie I've ever eaten is the
at whatever.
Sign.
Jenny's Diner.
Yeah.
And, like, no one could call them out on it because, A, no one is recording them. And,
sure.
G,
they couldn't search it instantly.
Nothing, right.
On the internet.
Now, you know, you got WikiLeaks dropping a bomb with the entire DNC email collection.
Bob, the Russians.
The Russians did it.
And Populux got hacked.
Yeah, exactly. but you follow what I'm saying? Like,
No.
I can't breathe right now without having it covered.
Right. Well, let's take that a step further. I mean, as soon as someone makes a speech now, they have a truth meter where people
Is running real time,
right?
Like mad.
So it's running real time saying 90% of what Donald Trump said was a lie, 67% of what Hillary. Right? So it's changed the game. The fact that we have... Go ahead, Bob.
But don't you think the people writing their crap know that these things exist and to tailor everything around it? If you know you're being fact-checked, make sure your speech writers are fact-checking first before they're putting stuff out in the thing to say.
Well, that was done.
Does that mean, you follow what I'm saying?
But that was done. So the,
well, yeah,
the
that's
story
how they got their content from speech.
That's
I don't think Trump's writers fact check. No.
So when you read the story about what happened there,
I think they drink a lot of Jaeger and write
to write her own speech. She wasn't happy with what ended up being presented to her, so she ended up writing her own speech. But you would think, I don't know, like, you're pulling from someone else. You've stolen it. You don't think anybody's going to know?
I'm not going to lie. Everybody was all about famous Melania Trump quotes and thought that was my personal favorite was that nobody really commented on the fact, because I threw it out on Twitter and my Twitter blew up, that nobody really paid attention to it, that was his third wife standing up there talking about how Donald Trump will stand by you and never leave your side.
You know what, Sandy? I think Trump supporters, they hung on to every word. I do.
Do you really?
I do, unfortunately.
Of course they did, because Donald, we're living the first 10 minutes of Idiocracy as we speak.
And the social media response to that speech, sadly, I think overshadowed some of the larger issues of the RNC.
Of course it did.
And nobody paid attention to anything beyond that.
Because Merca.
America.
Well, see, now that brings up another interesting point, is here you have the kicking mule in Trump, right, which is an easy target. That's all anyone is talking about on social, right? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so she stole her speech, right? But, yeah, so did Obama, so did Biden, so did Hillary Clinton, so did pretty much every candidate in every platform.
They borrow.
Right. It's no different than Scorsese and Spielberg. And
it's called sampling, Bob.
Right. when they take from Kraft.
Is that what they call it?
Right. But do you follow what I'm saying? But here's the thing, like I was talking about earlier. When Trump says he's going to do it, the place comes unglued. But when you say, like, hey, Biden already did it, like, where were you then? Nothing.
The world came unglued and he went to box for 2 minutes and felt shame.
Well, that happened. Plagiarized. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, when, you know, Obama or Trump's a racist. Well, did you see the crap Biden's been saying since, you know, they pretty much have shut him up the last 6 years, but. Originally?
Well, he's the puppet from Jeff Dunham. Let's be honest. He's Walter.
He's a jalapeno on a stick.
He's Walter.
But, you know, back to your point about the exchange between Trump and Clinton on social media. 2008 gave you and I great opportunity to demonstrate the value of social media in politics, right, in campaigning. But do you think this is going to take it in the opposite direction? Because I think we
makes it worse?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think people are going to take it seriously.
No, because good touch, everybody gets a voice. Bad touch, everybody gets a voice.
That
I think the value
that deserves a bell.
The legit value.
Thank you.
No, here's the thing. We're in a situation now where no one, even if you put out PolitiFact, they're going to, it's a librag. You go, here's Snopes proving
it's
wrong.
And I'm not reading it.
Right, here's Snopes proving it's wrong. Well,
and I'm not reading it.
A wife couple in the basement.
And I'm not
crap.
Reading it.
And I'm not reading. Yeah, everybody just reads the headlines.
If the meme that I can digest in 4 seconds does not perfectly align with my preconceived notions, I'm not reading it.
Nobody reads anything.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to
fact with headlines.
Right. No, I'm just going to comment on the headlines, and I know exactly what this story is, all 600 words, without reading it, and I'm just going to comment and say this is how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Did politicians not start it though? Where you got to pass the bill before you find out what's in it?
Yeah, like, that's true of any media bulletin.
Our leaders have taught us how to act.
Media.
Can you define the word "is" for me?
Right.
What's that, Lenny?
Even pre-social media. I mean, that's true of any media bulletin. I mean, your contents in the first two sentences, or people move on.
And they move on.
It doesn't matter.
And they make a determination decision based on the first.
Only now
sentences.
We don't have the press to filter it. We just send it directly to the consumer.
Seriously, man, though, Twitter was killing me with the hashtag after that speech. It was
hashtag. That hashtag and I forget what the other one was. Becky with the borrowed speech.
Becky with the borrowed speech.
Those are the reasons why that's the reason why the internet was created.
That's why Twitter exists. Just for that.
That's why and even if it wasn't, we should just say that because it makes us look better as people.
Right.
And you know right now you have people waiting for every DNC speech to analyze every word and to put it through filters, whatever Google professors do.
Put it through the Googles.
Yeah. And to find out that one line. Because when they analyzed Melania Trump's speech, it was 7% was pulled, and there was another 3% that was pulled from Rick Astley, but we won't talk about that. But there was only 7%. There was out of 93% was authentic, and 7% was pulled, and they treated it like she read, like
word for word,
right? Yeah. Martin Luther King, like verbatim.
But that is. So social media is a blessing and a curse in the way that you can reach people, you can get people motivated using social media, but at the same time, when they turn on you, regardless of what you did, you're done. You're toast.
It's easy to hit like and retweet. It's another thing to like go, well, wait a minute. Let me start doing the math. And I think that's a huge problem is the do you remember that meme that went out that said if we cut this program, we could give everybody in the United States $1 million, right? And like they got retweeted 850 times, right. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's some, and it ended up being $30, or no, ended up whatever.
It was a lot less than that. It was, right? A lot less than $1 million.
It was like $30. Yes. Everyone gets. Right. So I'm like, wait, so we're gonna, everyone's out of poverty if we give everyone $30.
It's only $30.
Or like, everyone has money for a pizza. Whatever.
Right. Whatever. But regardless, that thing already got shared, and everyone thinks that.
Well, all right. So I'm going to shift gears for a moment because I want to talk about just a funny thing that happened with Michelle Obama, who did Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. Have you guys ever watched Carpool Karaoke?
Yeah.
Right. So she ends up doing Get Your Freak On with Missy Elliott. And the funny thing about that was Missy Elliott just goes nuts when she sings the lyric, copywritten, so don't copy me. Right? Did you guys not catch?
I know the song. I haven't seen the clip, though.
I can't believe nobody else in here thinks that's funny.
No, I was right there with you. I'm just like, yep.
Yep. It's perfect. Like, it just seemed like the timing was perfect, and it just goes to show the sense of humor and the way that you can use media and different platforms to just to say your message without directly saying what your message is. Does that mean?
No, I completely agree with you. No, because we were talking
and personalize it.
No, we were talking early on. Like, the coolest thing that ever happened in our lives was when Bill Clinton came on the Arsenio Hall show playing saxophone.
Oh yeah,
and this planet came unglued, mm-hmm. right? And he could have said the worst abominations about what his plans are for the presidency, but he played saxophone at Arsenio Hall, and he was the coolest guy I've ever seen.
He was so cool. What happened to Arsenio?
He's still doing the show now?
No. He tried. It's been canceled again.
Oh, I know he had to come back.
Yeah.
It was
don't call it a comeback.
But see, that's the plus to social media and politics, too, though. So we've talked about the negative. You can really personalize your candidate. Those little pieces that people otherwise wouldn't have the ability, and I don't care if you're talking about local level, right, or the presidency, you have the ability to impart these little pieces of who they are as a person. That's important. It helps people connect with your campaign. It helps them connect with them as an individual and not just a candidate.
But I think these days it's almost easy for a candidate to engage on Facebook Live, to engage on mm-hmm. Snapchat, to engage on.
Yeah, but
there's
many
so many places to engage.
Yeah, there are.
Worked out really well for Anthony
engage.
Weiner.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Where's the bell?
There it is.
Buddy. You totally
sorry, I totally neglected my bell.
No, but you follow what I'm saying. Like,
because it goes down in the DMs.
In this day and age, and I know, like, you know, Bernie Sanders couldn't because he still has a clam phone or maybe the Zach Morris phone. But regardless, like, if a candidate would just, like, I know we all hate on Facebook Live, but that's a very easy way mm-hmm. to, could you, like, that would blow up right now if you had the DNC and you had, like, a candidate. Like
oh,
basically
yeah.
saying, hey, I'm on the stage and, like, talking to who's
like
out
like your favorite
crowd.
Candidate, Ted Cruz, did that.
But on
Periscope.
And the topic of likability.
Canadian.
Right, right.
But maybe that was the downfall of Ted Cruz's campaign is that he decided to go with Periscope instead of Facebook Live.
There's a lot more things than that, I think, Billy. Let's not go there.
So Letty and I were having a conversation before we got started. We were just talking about how, you know, in the last 100 years, there have only been a couple of times where, you know, politics have really been sort of shifted with mediums. And so one was radio, right? So you could now be in someone's home in being personal with them.
See, tonight's debate.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then from there, it was television, right? So now they can see you and you don't have to go from
Nixon, Kennedy.
There you go, right? And so now you're able to reach people in a way that you've never been able to do before. And then you now have social media that comes into the mix. So you have radio, you have television, you have social media, you have – so what we have, you know, Dave has always made fun of me. Slacktivism, is that what you called it? Right. But people are being moved in making decisions and donating money based on what they're seeing on social media. And you
hashtag
see that, buddy,
helping.
With it. Yeah, but it's more than that.
No, it's not.
But I believe that to some degree. But, I mean, so again, you know, you can find anything you want out of a statistical analysis because, well, there are three lies in the world. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. But just because you engage, you know, like the meme, the thing that's floating around, like, you know, find out how many of your friends go to the Donald Trump page and see how many of your friends like that. Go to the Hillary page and see how many people like that. Okay, odds are good. I'm more likely to like something that I want to keep an eye on because it makes me a little nervous than I am something that I just know that's running on autopilot.
But
I'm
what
good.
If you liked them from the TV show and forgot you liked it? And now you're evil because you like him. Unfriend you. Like, that's how stupid
nobody's,
this crap is.
Nobody's political stance ever got changed by a bumper sticker or a Facebook post. The end.
Or
a
meme.
Yeah. I mean, that's just reality 101.
Not true.
Oh.
Not true. Right? So what I'm saying,
there's one gentleman in North Carolina who was... saw a bumper sticker and said, "You know,
I read this Onion article, Dale Wenzel." And
so I was reading the Onion. right. So, but the point is that, you know, part of the problem with when we're talking about politics and social media is that we, regardless of whether we say that this is truth or not, we tend to surround ourselves, even on social media, with people who talk like us or think like us. Mm-hmm. And because of the things that we like, the algorithm that Facebook puts out and now the algorithm that Twitter says that they don't have determines a lot of the content that we see.
Absolutely.
So when we're stuck in that situation, right?
You're in an echo chamber.
You're in an echo chamber.
Billy, that's look right. We almost had a guest cancel our show because she flat out said, "We're a technology show." It says, "What's your politics?" I'm like, well, he's a little to the left, he's a little to the right, and I'm a little in the middle.
And then just cough?
Right. And then basically, it's like, well, I want to be with like-minded people. I don't know if I can go on your show. Like, wait, what? We're talking technology. Like,
right. I mean,
to promote what you have going.
What you have. This is about you. This is not about our politics.
Right. Yeah.
And
we don't talk about it anyway.
And how many times do you see people say, if you are for this person or this candidate, just unfriend me now? What happened to us being able to just have...
There are no common
friends. Or I just unfriended so-and-so.
Common interests, right? No friends, no enemies, just common interests. That's what politics is all about.
Well, how do we change that,
buddy? I think social media detracts from that. And it's, you know, well, how's my good friend Billy feel about that?
Interesting. So, is that something that...
I think it's become more of an emotional play with social media.
Really?
Play.
Right. So people during the election cycle, I mean, all I see right now are people talking about politics or they're talking about Black Lives Matter.
Well, like,
but if you want to learn more about Black Lives Matter, there's a podcast that you should listen to. Dave, would you like to plug that?
Oh, yeah, it's IT and the D episode 152 and 152 parts 1, 2, and 3.
Billy, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, Bernie Sanders to me was, like, when you peeled back the onion, for me personally, it was like the Trump to, like, my friends that bitch about Trump every day. Right? Like, for me, that was the worst humanly possible candidate that I've ever seen in my lifetime. But, like, I'm never going to unfriend you if that's, like, you know, we have a lot of good friends that were complete Bernie bots, right? Or whatever they call them.
Thanks, Bob.
But I'm never going to unfriend you for that. If you want to, like, you have your reasons why, and I have my reasons why. Let's have an adult conversation. And, great, you like Pepsi, I like Coke, right? But it doesn't mean I don't like you.
Right. But how does that make people any different if you're willing to say, you know what? You don't agree with me. You don't think like I do. I'm done with you. You're out of my life. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to think about you.
What a boring life that is.
Right.
But think now, dude. Think about social media 101, and that gives you the answer to why. Social media 101. Twitter, how many followers do I have? Look at me. Facebook, how many likes do I have? It's all about the positive, feel-good sense of entitlement me. And so if you harsh on that... Can't have you in that scene, man, because it's me.
Right. Perceived
my
credibility
page,
based
my
on
wall,
volume.
My feed.
And
me.
Not quality of content, right? Not relevance of content.
Hashtag Kim Kardashian's Instagram. Like, it's not about quality. It's about the clickety clicks and the like.
We live in a world where Ashton Kutcher got to 1 million followers on Twitter before CNN. I'm just saying.
So,
but, you know, with regards to...
Preach,
so
lady.
You're right about the Kardashians. But with regards to... politics and social media, how many candidates have you seen, or how many electeds have you seen, and you and I have seen a lot, that put content out there just for the sake of putting it, is completely irrelevant to what they have control of, what's within their world, right? But they're just creating content on a daily basis. And the average follower, the average voter, has no idea the relevance to that person's position or what they're seeking.
Well, they're part of the machine. Like, here's the thing, like, what I don't get is, you know, I want one some person that's complaining about Trump to tell me something positive about their candidate. Like, don't rag on, if you know, you know what I mean? I'm a Lions fan. I rag on the Packers, but I'm also going to say that, you know, I like Stafford better than, you know what I'm saying? Like, something.
Don't tell me not that. Tell me why this.
Right. Don't just tell me that Trump's Hitler. Tell me why.
Right. But I think, like, we've learned in this cycle, if we've learned anything, that there, it's a machine and it's not a candidate and it's not their words. They're put. We knew it. We started to know with the whole Sarah Palin thing when John McCain didn't know who the heck she was, right? And she got selected and became this weird phenomenon. But at the end of the day, it got cycled into this machine, and that's it. So you're not getting them anyway,
you
right?
think?
You're not. The only thing we're getting right now is when Trump's being a brash dick. Like, that's what you're not getting a cycle.
You mean Sunday through Saturday?
Right. You're not
when he's awake alone or with other people?
The machine's telling him no, and he's like, you know, I'm going to say what I want to say, right?
So, guys, I have a
question
for you.
Everybody else, though, is flat out part of the machine.
So I have a question for you, right? So someone mentioned Anthony Weiner.
Right.
And his Weiner.
Yeah. And so Anthony Weiner, not once, but twice, it went down in the DM.
That's right. It went down.
Just couldn't get it right. But what I want to understand from you guys is that
he was keeping his brand fresh. Sorry,
you were still not hitting the bell. What's going on? All right, you're fine.
He was just trying to be up there. Right. You know,
he's just trying to be out there.
Yeah.
Right.
He had a very pointed opinion.
He did. Right. How many puns can we get in the next 30 seconds?
Well, it's a hard topic to discuss.
He had a hard message.
There we go. All right. So the question that I'm trying to ask is, I completely lost my train of thought. So what I'm trying to figure out, right, is that how is it that Donald Trump can say the crap that he's saying and people are not, there's no blowback on
there's
that.
There's no consequences.
There's no consequences whatsoever.
I'll give you two things.
His follower count goes up.
Because no one's – I just said it. I just answered you what I just talked about.
I wasn't paying attention.
But
because
it's not going to transcend
into
the
machine
votes.
Talk. You don't – you never do. You don't have the machine talk. You have this guy that's talking like people talk at the bar, right? Saying whatever the hell he says with no consequence. He knows it.
What was that?
And consequence.
I just wanted to clarify.
He knows it. And it's basically like that's the guy that I could be having a drink with, right? We always base things.
Right, you're hanging out at the bar. You're just speaking what's on your mind.
And it's not like this canned blah, blah, blah speech that we've heard
that you've heard over and over and over again.
It's like this guy's talking like Jim at the corner at the end of the bar.
He's talking like Billy Bob.
Right.
Do you think that's going to transcend into votes? Do you think that's going to transcend into support in the polls?
Scarily, yes.
It
looks
like it has. Or is it like the Kardashians where people are just following it for amusement?
But they would vote, if you put Kim Kardashian and Kanye West as the president right now, people would vote for it.
What's going to happen is people are going to be hammered on election day, and they're going to go out, and they're going to go, I voted for Trump. Right. And then they're going to wake up the next morning and be like, he effing won.
It's going to be just like the Brexit, right? It's going to be like Brexit, where the next morning they're going to be like, I didn't really know what I was voting for.
Right, where most of the UK had to go.
I don't think that's a bad thing. To be honest, at the end of the day.
I mean, I'm just... So that's the thing that's scary is that people... You know, I was having a conversation with Jen, my wife Jen, right? And I was like, the thing that... And this was before he actually got the nomination. It was a while back.
Barry got reelected,
like,
Billy.
I'm like, don't sleep on Trump. As much as you think that he's an idiot. Go ahead,
don't
Dave.
Sleep
just,
on Trump.
Just say it. Say it. Did you say softy?
I said
softing.
Oh, right. Is that he has? That's how he's going to win. Is people are going to think that he has no chance in hell? But I don't want to vote for Hillary, so I'm just not going to vote. So it's
or you're going to have the well. I'm going to I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote for the third party candidate because, well, it won't be either one of them, and then just fractionalize and fractionalize and fractionalize and oops.
Which we're usually good for in a primary.
No, but if you look at both parties, though, both parties are classics on they've both taken the rules for radicals and they isolate and they demonize and they'll take the littlest thing and they'll run it into the ground, and both parties are classic for it. And it wouldn't matter who they traipsed up there, you'd get the hate stuff. But Trump makes it so much easier. He almost like he wants to wear it as a badge of honor. Like he's almost doing it to get the left so riled up.
I said this a year and a half ago, and I'm still waiting for it to happen. I there's no way that this is real. Mm-hmm. Like somebody is
no
paying.
No one can take him seriously.
No, somebody is paying Trump.
Did.
Either the Republicans, like, and I did, I believed it right up through last week when he got the nomination, and I'm still waiting for what can, like, I'm frantically searching for what can happen after the convention for like a replacement nominee, because I'm either the Republicans are paying him so that whoever they really trot out is going to look like Jesus, or the Democrats are paying him to just make that be psychotic, and you can't have that man with his finger on the button, so our candidate is the only candidate you can any sane, rational people will vote for.
Unless he wins.
Well, but like I said, it's I'm still
waiting. I don't think he thought he was going to win.
No, I still think this whole thing would.
I'm
going
to put my name in the hat. I'm leading?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly. I think he got hammered one night and said, yeah, this is going to be a great idea. And then like he's like, all right, watch. I'll do this.
Right. This is going to be great for the brand.
I'll do this, and then they'll never talk to me again. And then he goes and says something outlandish. And then people more – and he's like, what the
hell?
When
he's awake alone or with other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think both parties underestimated the power of social media and politics?
Yes.
I mean, we had no idea what it was going to do in 2008. We had a relatively good idea what it was going to do 4 years later.
No, I don't think this has nothing to do with social media. This has everything to do with – I think both parties underestimated
the
idiocracy effect.
Democrats didn't want Bernie and the Republicans didn't want Trump. The problem was – Republicans just said, all right, screw it.
Yeah,
and
but guys,
Democrats were like, nope, not happening. Well, nope.
But Lenny has a good point, though, right? Because it's the use of social media that helped Donald Trump explode.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? It wasn't just the fact that, you know, people were tired of the establishment. They wanted something different.
Nobody watches Channel 7 News anymore, Billy.
But to point.
Where do you get your news from? Reddit, MSM, you know.
Yeah.
So do you think we underestimated the value of social media and underestimated just how pissed off and fed up people are?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's been a really volatile combination of the two, and it's made for this crazy screwed up storm on the national stage.
No, I agree, Letty. So let me ask you guys a question. I want to talk about we went off the rails for a little bit just to talk about the things, but I want to talk. It's all good. So I want to talk about Cheryl Rios. Have you guys heard of her? No? All right. So Cheryl Rios was a businesswoman in Texas who decided to put her political views on social media.
That always ends well.
Yeah, it does, right? So, I mean, because we always write, thoughts are my own. Right. So like a lot of people put that in their social media profiles and saying that, you know, the thoughts and tweets are my own thoughts. They are not a thing of my, you know, this is not a reflection on my employer. Right. So she wrote that she believed that
that's
women
a lie, by the way, that it's no, not true.
Yeah, I understand. I totally get it.
Yeah,
but she wrote that women aren't fit for the U.S. presidency. And she stood by her views, but she was citing hormones and her biblical background as a reason for why women were not fit for the presidency. And then she was surprised when she ended up losing her she ended up losing clients over it, right? Because people did a search for who she was. It ended up going viral. They saw the clients that were on her company's website and then reached out to those clients and said, we're not going to do business with you. We're going to boycott you if you continue to do business with this woman. And so she ended up saying, you know what? I stand by what I've said, but she ended up having to merge with another company and then lost a ton of business because of it. And so the question that I have for you guys is that, you know, where have we come where we can no longer say exactly what it is that we feel or what we think on social media, whether it's Facebook, which is supposed to be a private profile, and expect that we have some sort of privacy And it's just us sharing how we feel.
One of the oldest signs that have ever been in public places is no politics, no religion. Right? Why? Because nothing good can come of it. It gets people riled up, and it gets people divisive, and it gets people angry. Add social media to this, where not only does the circle of people at my table hear, but tens of thousands could possibly hear, or hundreds of thousands. You've just created yourself a giant shitstorm
on her personal Facebook.
Nah. But it's not, dude. Because so here's nobody. How many? So I had to kill a Facebook profile back in the day. I like abandoned it because it was like games and all that other. Like it went up to like, you know, I had like 4,900 friends and yada yada. And then like I got all paranoid. And I started a new one, and I locked it down, and I wasn't gonna. It was my close friends, and that was it. And then slowly, the friggin' wrestling people started sending me friend requests, and then the show people started sending me friend requests. And now I've got like 700 friends on that one, and it's making me twitchy because now it's okay. Now it's not just my close circle of friends; it's acquaintances that may or may not know the intent behind the things that come flying out of my mouth at times, mm-hmm. without knowing who I am. And that's how I wind up on Flashpoint.
Yes, I remember that. So that's a story for another day.
I mean, it's just, you've got to be responsible. It's personal responsibility. Honestly, when you know people are turning to you for advice and guidance professionally, right, as it relates to social media, you in turn have collected a group of followers on social media on your personal page. Just use your damn head. It's common sense. Well, you don't have the right to post that.
Unless you're an echo chamber.
You should have the right to post that.
And that's my argument, is that you should. You should have the right.
Well, I have the right to do a lot of things, but I also have the right to face the consequences.
Well, certainly. But if you're posting something on Twitter that's more of a public and you don't have a private profile and you've sort of...
Define private.
Right. So when I'm saying a private profile, so let's say that you have locked your Twitter profile down and you only have maybe a handful of followers. You have like 5 people following you. Mm-hmm. And then you tweet something and somehow that becomes public. Someone screenshots it and they share it. It goes viral. To me, that is an invasion of privacy. That's you being able to say, this is how I feel about something. I'm trying to share this with my friends on a social network. And now I am losing income. I've lost access to my clients because I was thinking that I was in a safe place to have a conversation. So is social media about being social, or is it about this is just putting my best face forward?
I was edit book or whatever it is. I was talking earlier before the show, and like my Facebook, I get people come up and shake my hand saying thank you for not like being bitchy and whiny and politically and religiously. Just, you know, my Facebook is me with a drink in my hand. My kids,
right,
and me at events.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There's nothing else on my Facebook, right? And then, but if you would have asked me that in 2008, I was a completely different Facebooker. I was posting articles against this candidate I didn't like, and that candidate, you know, and I was pro this and anti, you know, and it was divisive, and I argued with everybody.
Sure, but that doesn't make Facebook fun, does it?
No, but what's half of your Facebook feed right now? Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You go through half of it's Trump, right? And none of it's positive. And it's like, well, what are you trying to accomplish? Like,
Yeah, but Facebook? That's not true, right?
I'm not going to watch the Mushroom Channel and clowns dancing in tap shoes, listening to country music and holding hands with Rosie O'Donnell.
But your experience,
I'm not going to watch that.
Your experience on Facebook is going to be different than mine or different than Letty's.
Of course.
Right? But with that being said, we've talked an awful lot, and it's time for a break.
This is a previously recorded episode.
That's why you're back. All right. We are back, and we're going to talk to Letty about social media and politics.
And this is why we don't leave mics on during the breaks, kids.
Letty. Right. So Letty is the campaign manager for Dana Camphouse Peterson. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to understand, like, what are some of the challenges that you have in sort of the day-to-day management in getting people involved?
Well, you know what? With any campaign, there's a long run, right? You're looking for daily content. You want to keep it relevant. You want to keep it contemporary. So, you know, it's a long haul. You're looking for daily relevance, daily content, keeping it fresh. And you know, most of all, I think we have this push from the top of the ticket where people are expecting to see on candidate pages, expecting to see on political pages, information that really isn't relevant to the race that they're in. And so I'm trying to refocus people onto who Dana is as a candidate, what's within the grasp of a state representative, right, and what's important regionally. And that's really hard to keep people focused on and understanding exactly what's happening in their own backyard.
Well, when you're running a regional campaign, how much do you need to distance yourself from what you're seeing from, say, like, if you see someone attacking Hillary, mm-hmm. do you jump in and start talking about those sort of things? I mean, where do you draw the
not.
Line?
Absolutely not. And that's a struggle as a campaign manager as a whole, not to mention the social media piece. And that is not us. I mean, yes, we're in the same ticket, we're in the same line, but we have got to stay focused on the fact that, you know, from a state rep's perspective, you have infrastructure, you have roads, right? You have clean water, you have wages, you have family life. Those are the things that are important. And here I have, and again, this has nothing to do with my own personal views, but when you look at the public outlash with Hillary, I have a white woman running for office on the Democratic ticket. And I think sometimes there's this transferable either hate or concern towards someone, and it's completely irrelevant, right? What's going on up there has nothing to do with Dana as an individual. It has nothing to do with her focus and what she is able to do to make Michigan a better place, to make Macomb County a better place to work, live, and play.
How hard is it to keep people on message? Right, because
incredibly.
I mean, certainly, you know, you post something, and it's a hot button issue, and then you know someone is upset, so they comment on something that has nothing. So their comment is not even relevant to what you're posting about because they're upset about something. So how do you address that, and how do you handle that?
And it happens often that we'll receive messages, private or public, about, you know, where do we stand? You know, how do we feel about Hillary and the concerns raised? Or how do mm-hmm. we feel about Trump? And again, those are concerns that, I mean, you should be concerned with a candidate that can rattle off and is willing to engage in that so quickly. And Bob, I think you'll agree. I mean, regardless of which side of the aisle you sit on, your candidate should not be as concerned with some of the rhetoric, right, and the social media.
No, there's going to be noise regardless.
Right, but to block that out. So when people engage me or engage our campaign, I'm focused more on, well, let's talk about, you know, let's talk about the roads bill. Let's talk about clean water. Let's talk about Flint. Well, let's talk about things that are within the auspices of a state representative and what he or she can't do when they're elected or in their current seat.
But some people will call that, are you diverting?
Nope. We're advocating for the role that we're in and what we have control of.
So, Bob, you are running a page for
Terrence Guido Guerin.
Right. Yep.
A.K.A. WWE Superstar Rhino.
Right. So you are you guys just doing Facebook? Are you doing Twitter? What's
pretty much right now, it's just I'm doing his website, voteforrhino.com.
Okay.
His Facebook page. So I'm in a difficult situation. We're both in a difficult situation because he is, I don't want to say an international superstar, but pretty much if you follow professional wrestling, you know who Rhino is. He is basically a larger than life character. And one of the things is when we put up voteforrhino.com, like I just went to his show in Philly and we got the whole crowd, you know, he had me. You know, wrestling, you understand it, right? And he had to stand up and yell at me, and I'll flip you off. And then we get the crowd chant, vote for Rhino. Vote for Rhino, you know.
Right.
So it's like his thing now. Like, he's gotten covered in SI, Fox Sports, pretty much every sports, ESPN has done an expose on him. So he's coming into this like, hey, here's a pro wrestler turning to politics. You know, he's 40. He's looking to the next chapter of his life. And he's like, I went to opening day with him a couple years ago. And he wanted to sit and talk Republican politics with me the entire baseball game. And I wanted to sit and talk wrestling and baseball.
Right.
So for him now, he's got a fan base, a rabid fan base. So now our Facebook page gets flooded with, you know, hey, can I have a sign in my yard? Hey, I'm not in your district, but go Rhino.
Is that enough to get someone elected?
He's doing everything on his own. The socials are really a small byproduct of what he's doing. He's knocking on 300 to 350 doors a day. He's having like spaghetti breakfast. He's having coffee talks.
Those are impressive numbers.
He's
That's outstanding.
Owning this. And here's the thing, though. He's an imposing figure. And when you have
he's not a little dude.
6'2", 300-pound guy that's in amazing shape, right, professional athlete, coming to your door, that can speak proper, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Mongo where he's like, me, run, thing.
Feed me, give me food.
He's a smart guy that has phenomenal ideas, that understands
business.
Well, and
he's hustling.
Those
are great
numbers. Hardcore hustling. He is working it where he doesn't...
He's taking it seriously.
He knows. He's been working his whole career to get to this point.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's going to... So he's running for state rep, and there's no way he's going to let, like, anything. Like, and the thing is... You listen to him. Like, when you look at him, when he looks you in the eyes, and he's like, for me, I've always been told when you speak, you're passionate. And like with him too, his eyes light up and he wants to talk history. Like when we went to Philly, he wanted to take me to the Liberty Bell and the Capitol and all that. And I wanted to go eat cheesesteaks and drink a beer with him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You have almost the opposite problem that I do.
I have a complete opposite problem.
Yeah, I have this candidate who is born and bred Macomb County. She's a lovable candidate. She established Care House Macomb 20 years ago with abused children and their families and sees them through the prosecution process. She was a 5-year county commissioner, vice chair. I mean, she has a wonderful record, right, an established record and commitment to the region. But now, you know, my challenge through social media is getting people to know her personally, know who she is, know why she was motivated to found Care House Macomb, right? Know why she was motivated to run as county commissioner and now for state representative. So I'm using social media to impart that really personal edge where your candidate is very well known outside of the political ranks and the public, the community leader ranks.
I mean, we're putting out endorsements. If you want to look at social media numbers, they're insane. When we just got an endorsement from Kurt Angle. That was the first one. He was an Olympic gold medalist, yep. Also professional wrestler. Thousands of shares. You know, we just got one from if you watch 80s wrestling, Nikolai Volkov, right? Gave an endorsement for him, but it was phenomenal. But the thing was, the press, like right off the bat, he comes out of the gate. And he's literally written in SI Bleacher Report, Fox Sports, M Live, WWE. He's got the backing of the McMahon family from WWE. And you know, if you know, like Mrs. McMahon ran for, I believe, a pretty prominent Senate seat in Connecticut. So there's strong political ties in that whole family, and they're fully endorsing him. And it's insane to watch. Like I didn't know, and he's like, Bobby, can you help me? Yeah, of course. I'm not going to tell him no. But to watch what this thing has done is mind-boggling, to say the least, just in the exposure he's got.
If I had to guess, then, what I'm getting from you guys is that social media has not played a very big role in for your candidates then.
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about, because for me it's been really helpful from a digital fundraising perspective. Right, it's low cost, no cost fundraising. It's helping people to understand, or at least feel like they can be involved. And everyone can get out there and volunteer and knock doors. Not everyone has the time to get out there and volunteer for an event, but they feel they can be instrumental, $10, $25, $50, $100 or more. Then it gives them the ability to touch the campaign, feel involved, and support our mission. But I think sometimes, right, people do engage for the wrong reasons. So
no, he put up on 4th of July, he put up a picture of like Hulk Hogan, the real American, red, white, and blue, or Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I forget which one, and got like 2,000 shares just following his personal page, not the Vote for Rhino Facebook page.
I was going to say, so how do you think that helps you on the political side? I mean, back to our Trump and Hillary thing. People follow and get engaged for all the wrong reasons. Does that transcend into votes or financial support in the end?
I think when you look at it, you think, hey, you know, that's cute. Here's my... like I got you, buddy. Like I got your back. But then, when you look at what he's getting behind and what he wants to do, Mm-hmm. And the hustle he's put behind it and the ideas he has and the friends that he's made in the political – you know, he's networked in the political world for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this isn't like – people know that
this isn't – he didn't wake up one day and file.
People know this isn't no joke, right? This is something he's lives and breathes. You know, he wrestles and he reads and talks politics and loves history. So, I mean – it's one of those times where, like, I'm like, I was a no-brainer for me to, like, help him out.
Do you guys think so? I'm gonna. I want to talk a little bit about budget, which I know that you can't really talk. You know, say, well, we have this sort of budget and this is what we're working with. But there was a study talking about what social media and politics looked like in 2016, and that that politicians were planning on allocating up to 9% of their budgets towards social media, which equated to an estimated $1 billion in social media management, marketing. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Right? And I think, you know, when you look at local races and state level races, that's a bit of an overestimate. A little bit. You know, I would say for congressional races,
a little bit by like half a million, 300 million.
Well, I was thinking percentage-wise. Sure. I mean, 9% for – I'm like, oh, shit, 9% for a county commissioner or state rep, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't – I think it's different. Like, you have mayor races that are – I think state rep is not even close to this budget that you need to win mayor.
Yeah.
It's
– although I've seen local races. I've seen a mayoral race, who shall remain nameless, and a county commissioner race that both came through. They didn't touch a damn door. Not one damn door. They relied entirely on social media. And neither one of them had incredibly reliable names, but I think their millennial voting base, which I'm not crazy about bringing up millennials and social media, because I think, contrary to popular opinion, there's a whole world outside of millennials with social media.
Well, but millennials are also getting older, right? So millennials are getting older, and what happens
when they keep having birthdays with us?
And becoming more and more conservative.
Well, I mean, as it's the same thing, right? It's we go through
welcome,
this all of the time,
my
right?
Children.
It's like you sit there with open arms and you're like, come into the fold.
Welcome to adulting.
Right. Because there's going to, like, we totally understand where you are, but there's going to be a moment where you're going to switch over to the dark side. Which you think to be the
because we were all
really,
there.
We were all there.
Like that's right? Like that's the word. Like thinking about like think back. You know, think back to
the
your parents
sucks.
And that older generation,
right.
And yet it like you get it now. Like it's
Rage
like,
Against the Machine, man.
It's a seasoned view. You go from Pollyanna-ish to a seasoned perspective.
Everything should be
online.
Free, man. It's for the people, all right? Well, but then where does the money come from? It'll just happen, man. It's just and then once you know you figure out like you get a job and you start figuring out who FICA is and why they get large chunks of your money.
Billy, here's the biggest problem with us is everyone knows who Rhino is. Nobody knows who Terrence Guido Guerin is, right? So
but isn't that your job as a social media manager to make that connection?
Well, we made up a pretty logo with the. The rhino, like, you know what I mean? Instead of the elephant, right? And I'll fight for you. And mm-hmm. But he didn't want to rely on wrestling too much, and I don't blame
Why?
Him. Because he wants to rely on merit.
But you know, other candidates – I'm sorry to cut
no,
you off.
No, let it go ahead.
Other candidates have run on nicknames. Other
right?
candidates have filed under nicknames.
Because I even asked him, why don't you run as Terrence Rhino Guerin?
Right.
And he
why
didn't
not?
Want to because that's his given name. And he wanted to run on merit. He goes, if people are going to elect me and if I'm going to do my job, I want to be elected on merit.
Merit's great, but it's a brand, too.
Right. But
right? We promote brands.
But yeah, but he's had this brand for 20 years. It's all he's ever been known as. Especially now since he's been signed to the WWE main roster. He's going to be on TV every Tuesday, probably with his campaign shirt on. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten full blessing to do both, to split the schedules, which, again... You get TV time every Tuesday for a national audience on the USA Network. You know, good luck to your competition. I'm just saying.
But he doesn't want to use that name. He doesn't want to tie into the fact that he's Rhino.
Which they know it's him, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to... When it's time to do business, you're your name. You're not your nickname. You know what I mean? If my nickname's Bubba in college... And I go to work for Cisco. I'm not.
Was it Bubba?
No.
Okay. What was it?
I didn't have one.
Letty. So I just want to ask you a couple of questions. So you guys have – you run quite a few events. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you market those events? Is it primarily through Facebook or is it – do you guys do a newsletter? How do you get people – make people aware of the events that you're running?
It depends on what the event is. For our significant fundraisers, we'll market it on social media. But really, you know, they're – it's call time, right? It's reaching out to your donors and ensuring that they're aware of the event and what level of support they can provide. It's formal, you know, old school, as you will, invitations, and then social media on top of that. And then we have candidate meet and greets, where that's not something where we're soliciting money. People are more than welcome to donate at those events, but that's really an opportunity to get to know Dana and who she is and what she stands for. And so those we do through direct mailings, door calling, and social media. We get most of our traction on those events through social media because they start to pick up steam, mm-hmm. right? First one, you might only have 10 people. The next thing you know, you have 30 people, then 50 people, and it grows from there. And when people have a low-cost, no-cost alternative to come and get to know a candidate on a more intimate level, as I always tell people when I'm inviting them, you know, ask a couple of difficult questions, poke the bear a little bit, and get to know. I want you to feel comfortable with your vote both in August
squirrel
and November.
Perking the bear.
Right, exactly. Squirrel poking the bear. So to answer your question, I think for candidate meet and greets and community engagement, so to speak, social media is a wonderful tool to get that word out. It's a wonderful tool to get the word out about who she is and what she stands for. But for significant fundraising events, you know, we inform people by social media, but really the bulk of our efforts are offline.
Do you guys take a look at your analytics to get a feel for that?
Yeah.
Bob shaking his head, no.
I do.
So my question is, do you guys understand what age range is interacting with you on social? Are you finding that they're 18 to 24? Are they, you know, 25?
Mine's 45 and up, interestingly enough.
Okay.
And it could be when I'm engaging, too. I'm engaging early morning and later at night, like after dinner hour. And I'm very mindful of what I'm posting and when, you know, day of the week. And I don't think enough people are mindful of that. They just think social media
is just post when they feel like it.
Yeah, it's just this quick blast. They don't care about relevance. They don't care about timing. They don't care about levels of engagement. They just feel like if they've posted something, they got it out there, and they're good.
But you don't spend $1 billion on, you know, political campaigns on social media if you don't think it's relevant, right?
Well, but I'm speaking more to local races where people tend to manage their own with no guidance.
No, we've tracked like when we do paid,
right.
And it's a $20 bill. Right. Basically, mm-hmm. there's no there's really nothing like as far as budget putting behind it. But we'll watch this thing completely explode. Mm-hmm. And we'll, you know, when we're talking about, like, you know, following, like he's got 3,000 likes in a matter of weeks. Right. They've been shared, you know, actually, you know what? He just got endorsed by the Detroit News, the Michigan Realtors Association. So, I mean, again, it's no joke. Looking at analytics, though, I think that's a smaller thing. When you get endorsed by the news, like, that was time to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. But why would you not look at analytics?
I think in the grand scheme of things, I'm not weighing the we're not weighing the social to what he's doing on the ground. I think
why?
Because the groundwork is what's going to get them elected.
The people that you're meeting on the ground, does that align with what you're seeing in your analytics? And if you're not seeing that, are you missing out on a potential face-to-face?
Billy, I have a different problem. I have a different problem.
What's your problem?
There's a national fan base for this gentleman.
Sure. Yeah, see, I have just the opposite.
Correct.
I do use it as a compass.
Right. And where I can't, because you might have 80% of the people liking and sharing that aren't even...
are in California.
But are just a fan of him.
Yeah.
Right, but you do realize that you can segment that down to just the people that are in Detroit.
Oh, no, it's segmented to Dearborn when we do the paid. That's why we care about paid. We don't care about the other stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, I only pay for topics and times that I see gain steam. So if I throw something out there and it grabs people... then I'll go ahead and either find similar topics or I'll take that and run with it.
And the reason why I'm judging you, Bob, and that's a great point, Letty. So that's why I'm looking at you going, well, you should be looking at your analytics, because when you're doing your paid, you may find something in your organic reach that you should be using in your paid, an audience that you didn't think that you should be reaching out to. So there are some hidden insights that you can find there.
Mm-hmm. mean, you're talking about races that are decided sometimes by 50 and 100 votes. If I find something that 40 to 45s love and they're hanging on to and they're sharing the hell out of, I'm going for it. Like, you know what, that might be another 10 votes that I can pick up. And I think this, the same holds true for millages, right? Let's look at millages and ballot proposals.
RTA.
Oh, yep, RTA. Perfect. How timely.
There we go. Let's talk about the RTA.
Let's about the RTA. Let's talk about the fact that after most people stop driving, they continue to remain active and engaged in their communities for 8 to 10 years following. But we don't have a goddamn option for them in Southeast Michigan. Period. For the folks that I think it serves the greatest purpose to, it's not a salient issue. So for millennials, maybe that have transplanted here, right, or are interested in engaging in the region because of its salience right now, they understand that public transit, I mean, they know. They know coming in or whether they've grown up here that public transportation is an issue. But we need to engage the 40 and overs who understand that our options are very limited and it's going to impact our quality of life, period. And so if you can engage those through social media and get that word out, I think you're going to better illustrate the need to approve this plan in the fall if it gets on the ballot.
So do you,
if it gets on the ballot.
I mean, so
I don't know, dude, you got an uphill climb.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get people out to vote for it, because I don't know if millennials understand enough about what's happening and what's at stake. And then you have, on the flip side, you have people that are saying, you know what, I don't understand why we have to have this millage when I live at 26 Mile Road in Van Dyke and I'm never going to use it, not thinking about the fact that this is about a region. It's not just about what you're doing at 26 in Van Dyke. It's about, do you want your grandchildren or your children, when they graduate from college, to have a reason to stay here in Metro Detroit?
Can I put it out there?
Put it out there.
So I think it's almost ahead of its time. I think even 2 years from now, which isn't very long, but even 24 months from now, this initiative is going to gain more traction, because right now it is seen as a stopgap initiative to fill service gaps around Detroit based on funding issues, longstanding, you know, agency issues,
sure,
right, and a lack of collaboration between agencies and funding.
Because that never happens
currently
in Metro Detroit.
And so people are looking at what's happening immediately and not the long-term and the long-term benefit. And I think that's a very big hill to climb by November, both from a local elected's perspective and a voter perspective. I think the initiative itself is very well-intentioned and absolutely needed. There's no doubt that this is needed. But it's just positioned at an awkward, awkward time. Social media or not, it's just, it's an awkward.
Oh, no, I'm sure. And I wish that I knew all of the nuances that went on politically to put us where we are today, with the idea of, you know, you have two politicians in one, and I won't name them, but I'm sure you can figure it out, in Oakland, in Macomb County, coming out a couple of months after the plan has already been presented, saying, well, I feel like it's $300 million short. And I don't understand why, one, again, not knowing all of the details in the behind the scenes, why they couldn't have put that out earlier to at least give people an opportunity to know, you know, we're not behind this now, and not wait until it's the same week of a vote. And that's the part of politics that I don't
because
understand.
Drama.
Sure. That's politics, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, both of said county electeds that have raised concerns over the RTA plan don't feel like there are assurances coming in their constituents' way that 85% is going to be reviewed and measured on an annual basis. And if they put their name behind it, they need to be able to, again, to ensure their constituents that those dollars are coming back, not at the end of the show, but immediately each year.
But
and
sure,
that's hard to ensure with this plan.
I get it, but let's spend a few $100 million over 20 years to expand 75, because that's a great idea. Bob?
Based on morning traffic, it actually is.
Yeah. Based on anytime traffic.
Really?
Yes.
I hate you, both of you.
Dude, 75 is a... When's the last time you took 75 downtown at 8 in the morning?
All right. So
I'm an East Sider, so never.
That is the end of episode 3. I love you, Mom. Bye.
We're all done now?
Yes.
All right.
All right. That is a wrap-up of episode 3 of The Scoop. Bob, where do we find you?
Not me, but voteforrhino.com. Simple as that.
Fair enough. And Letty?
www.danasfirstdaterep.com.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, and Whiteboard Creative Solutions.
All right, there we go. All right, and Dave, just because I want to give you some props.
ITandTheD.com. That's where all the things are.
Podcast Detroit. Hashtag it.
Oh, Podcast There's that Detroit. Too? Yes, Episode 3. Thank you so much.
Peace out.
Thanks, Billy.
All right. Thanks for listening.
This is a previously recorded episode.